I'm going to read now from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It's a verse that we touched on. We ended with it last week, and I'm going to move on with it this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, I begin to read at verse 8. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let me invite you to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to picture a beautiful blue butterfly. It's a beautiful blue butterfly. It's sitting on a twig. It's got vivid blue wings with black tips to the wings and white flecks in the wings as well. It's a beautiful, beautiful butterfly, and it's sitting there in the morning sun. Every morning when the sun comes up, that butterfly sits on its favorite twig and it has a good stretch, and it prepares itself for a day's fluttering. Now, this is based on a true story. And every morning, the butterfly recites a little prayer. And it says, Father, help me to fly today. Give me the strength. Give me the ability to raise myself up into the air. Give me the skill to navigate the landscape. Give me the wisdom to know which flowers to visit. But most of all, Lord, give me wings. Give me wings to fly. Give me beautiful wings that enable me to fly. And preferably blue ones. Because I like blue. Blue's awesome. Because when I fly, I reveal your glory. Now, just for clarity, we have departed from the true story at this point. Because there's something wrong with that picture. What is wrong with that picture? What is wrong with the prayer the butterfly is praying? It's got wings. It's got wings, for goodness sake. It's got beautiful blue wings. What's it doing there, sitting on the twig, praying for wings to fly when it's got the most beautiful blue wings, black at the edges, beautiful white flecks that allow it to flutter beautifully? The butterfly has the ability to raise itself into the air and catch the breeze because it's a butterfly. The butterfly has the skill to navigate. It's hardwired in. The butterfly has the wisdom to know which flowers to visit. The Lord has already taught it. Because it is a butterfly, our Father has given it everything it needs to reveal God's glory by fluttering. So, on further reflection, and after reading a good book, and having a good flutter and a good night's sleep, the butterfly wakes up the next morning and stretches and prays a new prayer. Jesus, thank you for my wings. I love my blue. Thank you for the ability. Thank you for the skill. Thank you for the wisdom. I'm going to enjoy using all you've given me as I fly and flutter and reveal your glory. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says this, and is addressed to us. Jesus' divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them we may have, share in, enjoy, and express his divine nature, and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add goodness to your faith, and add understanding to your goodness, and add self-control to your understanding. Add perseverance to your self-control, and add godliness to your perseverance, and add brotherly kindness to your godliness, and to brotherly kindness, add love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, such a person is short-sighted and blind, and has forgotten that they have been cleansed from all their past sins. Now look very carefully at what Peter does not say in that passage. Peter does not say, if you work really hard and strive to build those qualities in your life, then when you've finally worked up all those qualities, eventually you'll have everything you need for life and godliness. That is what he does not say. Peter begins quite differently by saying, Jesus's divine power has given us, has already given us, past tense, completed action, has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Therefore, make every effort, take every opportunity, enjoy every circumstance that gives you the chance to express his divine nature with all its facets. Gives you the chance to express his divine nature, which is already ours through his promise. So just like the blue butterfly, instead of praying out of a sense of lack, we can pray the truth back to God. We can pray his promise back to him. We can flip that prayer and turn it into a prayer of thanks that says, thank you, Jesus, because you have given me everything I need for life and godliness through my knowledge of you. If you know Jesus, if you believe in him, if his spirit is in you, you already have everything you need for life and godliness. Peter says that has been given. Yet often we think and pray like paupers. We think and pray as if Jesus had not given us everything. Now, at one level, it would seem a humble kind of prayer to say, Father, give me the strength. Father, give me the ability. Father, give me the skill. Father, give me the wisdom. Father, give me the wings. But if he has already given all this to you, it isn't humble. It's almost rude, because it dishonors the giver for the gifts he has already given you. Now, it's right to have a sense of total dependence on God. But if we're praying as if we had no wisdom and need new wisdom, or as if we had no power and need a new power, or as if we had no encounter with him and need a new encounter with his love, we may be missing one side of the story. Imagine a guest knocking on your front door, and you open the door and you say, "Do come in." And the guest steps into your home. And then you say, "Do come in." And the guest is already in your home. And again you say, "Please do come in." If you keep doing that, it's going to get weird. Because the guest is already in your home. And once the guest is in your home, the order of the day is to enjoy their company, isn't it? The order of the day is to enjoy their company. And again, we can fall into praying like paupers when Jesus has already made us rich by coming into our lives by his Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Sometimes we pray and even worship as though his love were far from us and needed finding, when the truth is Jesus has given us access. The truth is Jesus has already poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. That's Romans 5 verse 5. So his love couldn't be any closer to us than it already is. The order of the day is for us to wake up to that. The order of the day is to realize and enjoy that, to enjoy his love. And that's often the process we're in our times of prayer and worship, not finding his love, but learning to inhabit it, learning to enjoy it. Enjoy the love already poured into us. Sometimes we pray like paupers for wisdom. Oh, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, help me know how to respond to this person. When the scripture says, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And that word means the ability to make sound judgments. The ability to make a sound call. God has given us everything we need. Has given a spirit of power and love and wisdom. Has poured his love into our hearts. Past tense, completed action. So sometimes we need to flip our prayers of need and turn them into prayers of thanks and say, Father, thank you for the wisdom you've given me with which I will respond to this person. Thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for the power you've given me. Thank you for the love you've poured into my heart. Thank you that you've given me everything I need for today. I am going to enjoy it. Now, I mention this because sometimes as individuals and as churches at times, we can feel unequal to a situation we're in. We can feel unequal to challenges that are before us. 2017 is a challenging year for many people. At YVV, 2017 is a challenging year for all the churches in Australia. So I'm going to tell you some stories just to illustrate how good God is and how well he uses his workmanship, that's us, for good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do. He's prepared the good works. He's prepared us. He's given us everything we need. David and Gail had a neighbor that they'd been working on for some years, really seeking to communicate the love of Jesus to him. He had some kind of a faith, but they really wanted him to come to know the love of Jesus in a more powerful and personal way. And so they kept issuing invitations to things where something might happen along those lines. And they'd invited him to countless courses and events, to this and that, over many years, none of which had had any effect on their neighbor, Jeff. So that they were at a loss. They were out of inspiration. And then one day, Jeff just mentioned in conversation, in passing, that he needed to make an international trip. And he didn't know where that would leave his dependent son, who he wasn't able to take with him. "Oh, we'll look after him," said David and Gail. And so they did. They did it without thinking. They made the offer without thinking. And for them, it was an easy thing for them to do because David and Gail are natural hospitality people. It's what they do. They're just wired that way. But Jeff was blown away by it. He was so touched by their hospitality towards his son that the next time Gail invited him to an Alpha course, it was, he sort of felt obligated. So he went along and encountered the love of Jesus in a new way through that experience. David and Gail had everything they needed to bless Jeff and make the love of Jesus real to him. It was easy. It was how they were wired. They had everything they needed for that moment and for that person. These were the wings God had already given them with which to fly. I have a friend in Christchurch, New Zealand, by the name of Simon. And Simon had a colleague called Andy, and they knew each other through nursing. They were nursing colleagues. Now, Andy was what you might call an angry young man. He was a fired-up political activist on the hard left. Atheist, Trotskyite kind of guy. Not a small talk kind of guy, if you know what I mean. Well, Simon liked him, but had no idea how to get through Trotskyite Andy's defenses enough to be able to share Jesus with him. But Simon was a great reader, and Simon's living room was absolutely littered with books of theology and CDs of various Christian teaching. And one of those CDs was titled something like Revelation and the End of the World. Trotskyite Andy was visiting Simon one day, and that title caught his eye. "Can I borrow this?" said Andy, the activist. "Sure," said Simon, a bit surprised, but why not? So Andy took the disc home and listened to it. 2 days later, Andy was at Simon's front door, quite agitated. "Simon," he said, "I've listened to that disc. How do I become a Christian?" Simon had no idea how to reach Andy. He had no idea how to get through all his mental and emotional defenses. But it turns out Simon had everything he needed to meet that moment. He had the CD collection. And because Simon had prayed a prayer years before giving his life to Jesus, he knew how to lead someone else through that same process. So that's exactly what he did. Now, there's a work prepared in advance. Turns out he had everything he needed. I have a friend in Wagga Wagga called Ant. And he and I were on the street one day. We were looking for people to talk to. We had a crazy evangelist visiting us. And he was upskilling us for the weekend. So we were on the streets looking for people to speak to. And Ant came to me and he said, "Paul, I think the Holy Spirit wants me to talk to that guy on the bench over there eating his lunch. Except I'm not completely sure if it is the Holy Spirit. And I just have no idea what to say. What do you reckon? So I very wisely said, only one way to find out. So good on Ant. He walked over, and I know what he was praying under his breath. He walked over, praying under his breath, Lord, give me confidence. Lord, help me communicate your love. Lord, give me wisdom. Help me know what to say and how to respond. So Ant gets to the guy and he says, hi, I'm from the local church. We're out today talking to people about Jesus. Would that be of interest? And the guy on the bench said, well, I would like to believe in God and Jesus, but I'm a scientist. So Ant says, oh, okay, what field? I'm actually a microbiologist, he said. I'm researching my PhD at the moment on the effect of certain enzymes on cancer cells in rats. That's interesting, says Ant. I'm a believer. I'm also a scientist. I'm a microbiologist. In fact, I'm researching my PhD. I'm in cancer research too. I'm looking at the effects of certain microbes on cancer cells in rats. Do you reckon that was a Holy Spirit prompt? And do you reckon they had a good conversation? Of course they did. They lit up. They were on topic. Both of them knew this was an amazing coincidence. Let's enjoy it. Ant understood it was a little bit more than that. And so they had an easy conversation that flowed just like that. Even before Ant prayed, Lord, give me confidence. Before he said, Lord, help me communicate your love. Before he prayed, Lord, give me the wisdom. Long before Ant had ever prayed that prayer, God had already wired Ant for that conversation. It was a work prepared in advance. It's obvious, isn't it? Now, I share that because it's a very obvious example of being wired in advance for a moment that randomly comes. But that is true of absolutely every one of us. The preparation he's done in us, the people among whom he places us. He has already given us everything we need for the moment, just as he did to Ant. Years ago, I led a mission for a medium-sized church in a small country town. And at the end of that mission, the church was taken by surprise by about 14 young converts. They hadn't expected them. But there they were. And that little church felt completely unequal to the challenge of 14 people in their early teens. Not only were they a different age to everyone else in the church, but they were from the other side of the small town, on the other side of the tracks. They didn't have any early teens in their church. They didn't have a youth worker. And they just didn't know what to do with them. Well, about a year later, I went back to visit that church with a few of the team, and we found that the church had kept nearly all of those young teenagers who'd given their lives to Jesus. And the reason was that in that church, used to sit at the back on the left-hand side, was an old bloke called Jock. Aged 75, who had grown up in a particularly rough part of Glasgow and had found Jesus when he was in his early teens. Here was somebody in their fellowship, hardwired 60 years previously for the opportunity now on their doorstep. And the young converts absolutely gravitated to him. They didn't need to know anything about his story to know that they felt comfortable around Jock, that Jock got them, that Jock understood them, knew how to have a conversation with them. And it was his delight to look after them and encourage them and minister to them. The church didn't know it, but they had everything they needed in that moment to meet the moment, unexpected as it was. So those are just four, for instances. Four individuals, one church, endowed with everything they needed for that moment. So what might it mean for you? What might it mean for us as a church at YVV to move away from praying pauper prayers? What might it mean for us to move away from praying out of a sense of lack and praying out of a sense of need? To move away from praying out of a sense of being unequal, unprepared, unready for the moment that you see. And moving to a mindset of enjoying everything God has given us that readies us to meet the moment. To move to a mindset of inhabiting the everything that God has given because of our connection with Jesus. To move into a mindset that knows we have everything we need. Let me ask you as an individual, is there a prayer that you have been journeying with that you could flip? Lord, give me. Lord, make me. Lord, grant me. Is there a prayer of need that you could flip and turn into a prayer of thanks for the everything? Now, sometimes it's very clear when we're asking God for something we don't have. If your leg is broken and you pray and it is still broken, then you do not yet have the thing you're praying for. Sometimes it's obvious that we don't have the thing and we ask him for it, which we looked at weeks ago. But sometimes we journey with prayers, Lord, give me, Lord, make me, Lord, help me, I need, I lack. Prayers that we need to flip, like the butterfly did, into a prayer of thanks. The Lord has given us so much. The Lord has given us so much naturally. The Lord has given us so much in Jesus. The Lord has given us so much in His Spirit when we receive His Spirit into our lives. The Lord has given us a spirit of power. The Lord has given us a spirit of love. The Lord has given us a sound mind. He's given us wisdom. He's given us bodies that know how to heal themselves and that with God's help can do miraculous things. He's given us resources with which to play and serve. And sometimes we're ready to flip our prayers into prayers of thanks. Lord, let me enjoy all that you've given and bring it to the moment. Because getting stuck in prayers of need can sometimes keep us waiting when we don't need to wait. Getting stuck in prayers of need can keep us anxious when we don't need to be anxious. Getting stuck in prayers of need can keep us fearful when we don't need to be fearful. Can keep us inactive when we're ready to do something. So if there is a prayer of need that you've been journeying with, is it the kind that you can flip into a prayer of thanks and say, thank you, Lord, that you've given me everything I need. I am going to enjoy using that. I'm going to enjoy inhabiting that and acting according to what you've given me in Jesus, acting according to what you've given me in the Spirit. Not every prayer of need can you do that with, but maybe there is a prayer that's been on your heart for a while, and the Lord is saying, it's all right already. It's all right already. You start enjoying the everything I've given you, because you're more than equal to this moment. So I want us to practice this. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat, look around the hall for someone that you're not very familiar with. I want you to pair up, and I want you to see if you've got some prayers that you can flip. And then we're going to practice flipping the prayers. Are you ready to do that? Okay, the six who are ready to do that, pray for everyone else. We'll just take the next 7 or 8 minutes doing that, getting our heads around this and practicing these flipping of prayers together. So stand up, find a person, and let's do this for a little while. Thanks, everyone. Great work. If you can just draw your prayers to a close, and we'll have a ministry time in just a moment. God is good. God is good. He's a good Father. We have a lot to say thank you for and to enjoy. Thank you for doing that. I know for me it's a bit of a new habit to recognize when my prayer is in that territory where I need to be enjoying my relationship with the Lord and not praying for it as if I didn't have it. So it can be a challenge, but it's one worth rising to. Is Ben Chenoweth still in the house? Can you give us some tasteful music? Thank you. As you always do, I should say, in the background. And prayer teamsters, would you like to come to the front, please? Just ready for a time of ministry. Does anyone have a testimony of healing from last week or just recently? We heard a couple last week. The Lord's been up to some things. I see a hand. Thank you, Richard. We had knees, didn't we? Knees were healed last week. And pain in the belly. And still healed. So it's a real healing, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Keith. Richard.
I hesitate because this isn't actually of me, it's of my sister. And so I just ask you to be respectful of that. My sister has been afflicted with depression for as long as I can remember. I would say 20 or 30 years. And everything about her life has always been, look what's happened to me. Last week, she rang me, and it is as though I was talking to a completely different person. That spirit of oppression has been lifted. She's excited, and she's got a new way of understanding how to deal with the afflictions that she sees. And I'm just overjoyed.
Richard, thank you. I'm really pleased. I'm really pleased Richard has shared that. I'll have to shout, I think, because I think sometimes there are conditions that we find it easy to believe for and conditions we find it harder to believe for. And some of us find it hard to believe that depression can be healed by the Holy Spirit of God. There may be some other particular thing you find it hard to believe for, but no one healing is harder for God than another. And one of the reasons it's lovely to hear testimonies shared is it shows us what God is doing, what He's doing, what He's capable of. And if He did it for that person, He can do it for this person. If He did it for someone else, He can do it for you. That's why it's great to share testimony when the opportunity is there. Now, before the meeting, some words of knowledge were given to people. When the Holy Spirit speaks words of knowledge, it's because He wants us to know things He's wanting to do. particular conditions he's wanting to heal, particular people he's wanting to meet with. And if you've got pain in your lower back, the Lord really loves you because he's mentioned this about 3 weeks running. He loves your company. But we're going to keep praying until that's completely healed. Part of what it means to be a church to call home is a church in which we can find healing. And part of what it means to be a healing community is that we stay with each other and journey with each other when the healing takes longer. So we're going to pray for this lower back until it's tip top. So if that's you, you come forward. Don't be shy about coming forward for the third time. The Lord wants to meet with you. There's healing. This is the second week running that the Holy Spirit has spoken about emotional healing around unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, when that lifts, you feel it in every cell of your body. I know. The Lord has healed me of it. If you're struggling with unforgiveness, the Holy Spirit can help you and heal you. You come forward. Let us stand with you in prayer. The Lord wants to bless you. And if you've got pain in the back of your neck on the right-hand side, and this was felt as a sharp stabbing pain, if that's your neck that we're feeling, the Lord wants to meet with you and heal you. If you have any other need for which you'd like prayer, the team will be more than happy to pray for you. So in the next few moments, while Ben plays, come to the front. People will pray. If you have no needs, already been made perfect. Feel free to mingle, have fun, talk to one another. And if you have kids in the kids' programs, go and pick them up. I think we can leave the chairs out this week. Is that right? Yes? That's good, isn't it? Yes, thank you, Jesus. All right. Blessings all. Have a wonderful week.